I've always felt that a man should be honest and true with himself. If that's what he is, then be that and be the best you can be at it.
A few years ago, I had the privilege and the pleasure of sitting down with one of the most elegant ladies in jazz, a singer other singers listen to, not just to study her style, but for pure pleasure. I'm Fred Macy, and this is The Jazz Scene, dedicated to the preservation, promotion, and appreciation of jazz, America's classical music. When Nancy Wilson walked into the studio wearing a floor-length white ermine coat, I felt a little out of place, even though it was my studio. After all, my typical DJ's wardrobe consisted of jeans with promotional t-shirts in the summer and jeans with promotional sweatshirts during the winter, even on a Saturday night. Besides, where do you hang a white ermine coat in an air studio? The best I could do was fold it discreetly over the back of a chair, offer her a cup of day-old radio station coffee. She smiled and we talked.
If I could, I'd protect you from the sadness in your eyes. Give you courage in a world of compromise. Yes, I would.
Nancy Wilson has a very unique and distinctive style. You're a song stylist. Looking at you, you're obviously a very female, as well as a singer. How do you explain listening more to male influences rather than female?
Basically because when I was a child, my father was the one who purchased the recordings and who listened. He was, all the records in the house were big band, Jimmy Rushing. He had, and I listened to Nat Cole and Billy Eckstein, Louis Jordan, and loved, obviously, Little Jimmy Scott, because I think that's, I sound more like Little Jimmy Scott than I do anyone else. And as I grew older, then, because I'm talking listening to them when I was 5, 4, 8, then I heard more pop and R&B. That led me to Ruth Brown, Laverne Baker, Dinah Washington, and as I got a little older, then Sarah and Ella.
Have you found yourself compared with Dinah Washington? I hear very much an identical tone to the voice between you and Dinah, but a different style.
And we don't really sound that much alike. I can and have done Dinah in tribute and can sound like her to the point where it's a little frightening. I could anyway. It's a little. I haven't tried it in a long time. But I always really never really made any effort to sound like anybody in particular, but I do realize that my phrasing is more Little Jimmy Scott even than Dinah Washington. I've heard us do things and we didn't even know each other, and I'd never heard him do it, and I recorded it, and we're talking like late 60s here, and I'd heard something of his later, and they're almost identical.
It's interesting what the mind will store up.
Mm-hmm.
Was this something on your own actually getting into singing, or did your parents encourage that?
My parents allowed me to be free. I mean, they didn't push. They didn't say, you can't do it. They didn't say, they were not show business parents. The voice was natural. It was not, there's no conscious decision where I ever said, I'm going to be a singer. I just always was. I mean, it was just always a part of my life.
Sort of osmosed into it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then at 15, I had a television show in Columbus, Ohio. I worked all through high school. Rusty Bryant's band after high school, Raleigh Randolph and his Sultans of Swing when I was 15, 16. I played all the clubs that you could possibly play in and around my hometown in Columbus.
In those early days, Nancy, was it tougher being a female singer than it was to be a male singer, especially as young as you were?
I never really thought about it. I mean, I just did what I did.
Did you find you were getting the kind of respect, money, finding the opportunities that some of the guys were?
Well, I was probably the only one in that town who was doing, I mean, I was it. There were other young guys who sang, none of whom have ever done the kinds of things I've done. The person who stood out and stepped away was me. And I had all the jobs I wanted, was not unhappy with the money. We're talking about a time when I was, you know, 15, 16 years old. I was making as much money as the guys were making. And I've never had any complaints like that. I was always treated beautifully and with utmost respect by all the musicians I was ever associated with. Because of my age, they protected me. They allowed nothing to go wrong. I mean, they really were supportive and kind. And I had nothing but good feelings as a young singer coming up.
Were there any tough times?
No. I mean, I never thought of that as paying dues. I just thought this was, you know, I mean, I didn't come up with that kind. I've always had an inner strength that I got from grandparents and family that does not allow you to go around picking and looking for negative things. You use the positive. So consequently, it just never occurred to me that as I look back on things, possibly maybe there was paying dues, but I never thought of it in terms of the hard times.
Just the way it was.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. After that, then, of course, I came to New York while Rusty's band was recording, and I was here because we were working upstate New York someplace, and I was not in the studio because I had not signed with anyone and didn't want to at that point. And I really had looked around and felt that the person who would be the most sensitive to me as a person, and knowing that Nancy Wilson, the person, was more important to Nancy Wilson than Nancy Wilson, the singer.
So you've always kept that in pretty good perspective.
I could not have done it if I didn't do that. I knew that I was happy, and I looked at other singers' lives, and I knew they weren't. There had been so much tragedy in singers' lives, and no one in their right mind should go out and say, "Well, I want that." I didn't want that. I wanted to keep the feelings that I had inside, but still be able to sing and balance them.
How do you balance your career with your personal life? You are very much a family person, mm-hmm, yet mm-hmm. You're away from home on the road a lot, too.
But not like most people. I mean, I could have been. There were times when I was booked way in advance for 2 years, and I said, this is not living. This is not what it's about. When my son, who is now 26, went into, could not travel with me anymore, and went into out of private school into public school, and then I cut way back. I don't work all the time. You know, I don't go away for long periods of time.
So you would say that kind of your secret is not overdoing it.
Exactly, exactly. I need to go home to them in order to perform for you.
Looking at your music again, you pick your material more by the lyrics than by the melody line as mm-hmm. a rule. Does the ultimate interpretation that we hear when you finish a song reflect the effect of your mood on the song or the song's mood upon you? Which has
the song.
More effect?
The song.
The song will create your mood.
Mm-hmm. The song definitely does. I was going to get to Cannonball Adderley, who I met through Rusty, and when he first came up here, he is the one who, and he was also being handled by John Levy. It goes back to all that. And Cannon was the one who finally said, okay, John, she's in New York, and she's working in the Bronx. Now you can go hear her, because John knew I existed. And I wanted David Cavanaugh as a producer at Capitol Records, and I knew John could do that. So the whole thing was well thought out. John agreed with me, and he's still my manager after all this time. There has to be a reason for that. Cannonball, when we went in the studio, for example, to do the Ella Johnson, the Buddy Johnson, Save Your Love for Me song, the song takes you there. And that's what I talked to a fine actor, Frank DeSilva, about. Was there anything that, because he knew my work at singing, and when I was getting ready to do my first dramatic thing, he said, Nancy, you know how you sing and you know how you feel about the words, just go there. And I believe that, and that's the song, just go where the song takes you.
Sounds like you've kind of stayed with the system instead of trying to create your own. It's one of the reasons you've maybe had it a little smoother than some people.
Probably, yeah, yeah.
Nancy, you're the kind of singer that most singers listen to. Who do you listen to? I mean, for pleasure now.
For pleasure, I listen to gospel.
Do you?
I listen to Vanessa Bell Armstrong, Daryl Coley, whom I adore. I mean, he did the Ramsey Lewis album with me. I listen to the Winans, and obviously I listen to the young crop of great young singers who are coming up, Regina Bell, Phyllis Hyman. I think she's far better than what we've ever heard. There's so much there. She is a brilliant singer. Anita Baker, I hear a lot of wonderful things there. We have some girl singers are back, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you were to aspire to something outside of music, mm-hmm. what would it be?
At this point in my life? I have it. I would want to be my children's mother and my husband's wife. I really feel that way. I mean, I don't want to be anything else. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want another career. I don't want to retire and be something else. I don't want to, you know, never did.
That's magic.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. I'd like to get your kind of a flash reaction to just to some things.
Okay.
Okay? Lazy men.
Wow. Okay.
Changed horses on you a little bit.
There are some, truly. There are some. I've always felt that if I were a woman looking, I mean, we're talking more so than lazy men. I think what I'm talking about here is if it was someone that love entered into the, I've always felt that the man should be honest and true with himself. If that's what he is, then be that and be the best you can be at it. And I've never known any in my life. I don't know any that I can say anything too negative about, but I just feel that that's a low energy level more so than lazy men.
How about catty women?
I just don't like them. That's something that I can't use.
High tech.
It came along a little too late for me in my life. I think it's exquisite and wonderful. My children will reap the harvest.
Kids in today's world, fast-paced as it is,
feel sorry for them. Feel that I and we, our generation, have let them down tremendously. I think we owe them a lot more than we've left them with.
And in her quiet moments, what does Nancy Wilson think about?
Oh, me and my little conversations I have with my supreme being.
That's reflected in your music a lot, especially on Nancy Now. I noticed there are mm-hmm. several songs that have to do with a religious...
Inspirational things, yeah. Well, Power and Glory, I just loved it because it was enabled me to do some things and say some things, but also in a contemporary way rather than to do something in the traditional gospel sense. That's not where I am. I love the contemporary gospel sound because the words, I love to hear the scriptures sung beautifully. I love to hear it sung without pressure. You know, I love this what is being said, and we need what those words are saying so very much today.
What's ahead for you, Nancy?
Oh, hopefully more of the beauty that has come along and more of the serenity and the peace, really.
Anything that you'd like to do that you haven't done?
No, actually not. There may be more things forthcoming when you talk about... See, I believe in dreaming dreams that you can fulfill. Impossible dreams will cause depression. I mean, it really can upset us. Upset our younger generation to dream dreams that we cannot possibly fulfill. Dream things that you can accomplish, and then you can have another dream. There will probably be more bonuses. There will be more things forthcoming in my life, but I shall take them a day at a time and be grateful for them.
A contented lady, that's beautiful. Nancy, thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Nancy Wilson, open, honest, and oh so talented. Boasting more than 70 albums and 3 Grammy Awards, she's been recognized for her excellence in blues, jazz, R&B, pop, and soul. But for my money, well, her greatest strength lies with jazz. Nancy is also a consummate actress and has frequently been called the complete entertainer. And she is. On February 20th, 1937, she was the first of 6 children born to Olden Wilson, an iron foundry worker, and Lillian Ryan, a maid in Chillicothe, Ohio. On September 10th, 2011, she performed on a public stage for the last time at Ohio University in Athens, Ohio. According to Nancy Wilson, "I'm not going to be doing it anymore, and what better place to end it than where I started? In Ohio." I hope you enjoyed spending a little time with Nancy and with us right here at the Mark of Jazz. If you'd like to hear something special or just want to talk about what you'd like to hear, leave me a comment either here at the Jazz Scene or on the website itself, markofjazz.com. And by the way, until next time, remember the wisdom of Miles Davis when he said, "Don't play what's there, play what's not there."
the boat rides we would take, the moonlight on the lake, the way we danced and hummed our favorite song, the things we did last summer, I'll remember all winter long. The midway and the fun, the Cupid dolls we won, the bell you rang to prove that you were strong, the things we did last summer, I'll remember all winter long. Spit-a-my-doo, 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 spit-a-my-doo.